As we continue in the Gospel of Luke, beginning in chapter 10. This is the Word of God. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsacks, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Thus far the word of the Lord. May he bless it to us all. You may be seated. At this point in Luke's gospel, Jesus has decided to go to Jerusalem to complete his ministry on earth, even though that means he must die. For that's what he came for, to die for the sins of the world, to be raised on the third day, and to ascend to the throne of heaven. But this very fact that Jesus is now going to Jerusalem to complete his work has created a situation of great urgency. And that's because there are still many towns in Israel who have not heard the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God, which Jesus proclaimed and which he demonstrated by his deeds. So we read in the first two verses that the Lord, after what was presented in the preceding passage that took place in Samaria, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, in every town and place where he himself was about to go. So these men were to go in advance of Jesus to the places where he intended to go. And the response of the people to these messengers would help Jesus' own ministry planning for the short time remaining. There wouldn't be much point in going to towns who had rejected his messengers. The urgency of the shortness of the time is also indicated by the instructions Jesus gave to the messengers. He said to them, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. When he said the fields are white for the harvest, that means that there was great opportunity. Many people would be receptive to the messengers and to their message. So Jesus multiplied his own efforts by sending out the 72. And he says, pray that more will be sent out, that more will join the laborers. But Jesus is saying that he sent them out as lambs among wolves, meant that there would be also many people who would be hostile. So they must be alert to dangers as well as to opportunities. And they had a lot of ground to cover quickly, so they were to travel light and to depend solely for support on those who favorably received them. He said, carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. In the ancient Near East, when people greeted on the road, it could be quite an involved thing, take a lot of time. This is very urgent. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is said before you. That partly means, don't be particular. Food and drink is not the important thing now. Even if in places like Samaria or in the Transjordan, people are not strictly adhering to the Jewish dietary laws, something more important is at hand. Their message was to be very simple. He said, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. So that's their very basic, simple message. The kingdom of God has come near. This is the message of Jesus. Only with Jesus, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. That is, it has arrived, because Jesus is the king. These are messengers of the king. And even if they reject them, they are to shake off the dust and say, even though you have rejected, know that the kingdom has come near to you. You've been shown grace. Just as when Jesus sent out his 12 apostles in the beginning of chapter 9, so now he has given these 72 the authority to preach and to heal. They preached the kingdom of God, and they showed what that looked like by healing people. And just as with the ministry of Jesus and the 12, connecting the coming of the kingdom with healing took many people by surprise, because in their mind, when the kingdom comes, that's going to mean the Messiah is going to raise an army and overthrow the yoke of the Romans. There would be death and destruction. But this one comes proclaiming the arrival of the kingdom, and he brings healing and life and mercy. Didn't look like what people were expecting. Many people were responding, but many people had their own agendas who would oppose and resist the messengers. They couldn't say that they didn't know or they didn't hear, because even if they rejected the messengers, they were told, the kingdom has come near. I was taught when I had evangelism explosion training, and when we went out on Fort Lauderdale Beach on consecutive Thursday nights, you go to present the gospel to people, and if they just absolutely refuse, just tell them, all right, if you don't want to know how you can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life through the blood of Jesus by faith in him alone, I won't tell you. Jesus says that even the towns where he did mighty works, that because they did not repent, it would be even more severe for them on the day of judgment. He said if the things that he had done in those towns, Chorazin and Capernaum, had been done in Tyre and Sidon ages ago, they would have repented. The messengers needed to understand and help the people understand that to receive their message was to receive the word of the one who sent them. But to reject their message was to reject the one who had sent them and to reject the one who had sent him. As it turns out, though, the mission of the 72 messengers was a great success. They returned rejoicing, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Verse 17. Their message had gone forth with great power and fruitfulness among the people, setting them free from the lies and the bondage of Satan. And Jesus' response is given in verses 18 to 20. He said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Yes, it is a wonderful thing to experience the power of the Lord in ministry. Always rejoice in the salvation which he has given to you by sheer grace. So Jesus rejoiced with them and their rejoicing. I'd like to make some applications. First of all, what is this about 72? Now, you may be using an English text that says 70. And scholars debate about this because in the Greek manuscripts of the New Testament, it's just about evenly divided between good, solid, ancient manuscripts that say 72 and other good, solid manuscripts that say 70. And so there's an ongoing discussion about by text critical scholars on this. You might talk to Chad Baxter about that because he just recently completed his studies in New Testament Greek. Well, his seminary studies, I'm sure he's continuing to study Greek, and he's now learning Hebrew. So he did a lot of textual critical studies in that time as well. I haven't had a chance to ask him his opinion on this. Why 72 or 70? Well, this is what I think, and this is not new with me. I'm building on what I have learned from many scholars. I don't know what to say about the text critical issue. However, there is a background to this that is very basic, and it's in Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 to 30. I'm not going to read all of those. I'll give you the reference so you can check them out. But there, Moses had recruited 70 elders to assist him in his ministry in leading Israel. And they were called apart, and God took some of the spirit that he had anointed Moses with, some of the spirit that was upon Moses, and anointed these 70 elders, and they prophesied. So there's the act of God of anointing them, and then there's the tangible response of these elders prophesying. There were 70 of them. However, there were two that were enrolled, but they didn't come. They remained in the village, and the Spirit anointed them, and they also prophesied. So which is it, 70 or 72? I think it's yes. But what is this all about? Why these 70 or 72? Well, there's something further back in the background of this, and it goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 10, that after the flood, there are listed there the nations of the world, and there are 70 of them. This has to do with the mission of Israel, brothers and sisters. Israel was redeemed by God, the very least of the peoples, to show that it's all of grace. Deuteronomy emphasizes, you were not redeemed because you were a great people, nor were you redeemed because you were a good people. On the contrary, you're a small, despised people, and you are a stiff-necked, rebellious people. But God redeemed them to show that it's all of grace, and to make of this nation a kingdom of priests, to make known the living and true God to all the nations. Therefore, at the dedication of the temple of Solomon, there were offered 70 bulls in sacrifice for the 70 nations. For that temple, which was the very center of Israel's worship, where God's footstool was, where God caused his name to dwell in Israel, was also a house of prayer for all nations. You see, that was the role of Israel. Israel, however, had failed completely. Jesus comes as the one who brings the kingdom, the one who fulfills what Israel failed to do. And so Jesus goes about taking actions which would show that he is gathering around himself, as a manifestation of the coming of the kingdom, a new Israel, a true Israel, 12 disciples for 12 patriarchs, 70 messengers for 70 elders. And these are going out not only through Judea, but also places like Samaria and Transjordan. So Jesus has appointed these 70 to help him in this mission that Jesus is beginning as the worldwide mission that Israel failed at, which he was now going to bring to its fulfillment. First of all, by as the great and true high priest, offering himself as the once-for-all true sacrifice. And then by forming a new Israel, all those Jews and Gentiles who had faith in him as a new royal priesthood to minister to all nations, that the kingdom has now come in Jesus Christ. Salvation is now freely offered to all nations through this new priesthood. That's what that 70 or 72 is all about. Second application, this new Israel gathered around Jesus to be saved by him and to share in his mission is known as the Church of Jesus Christ. We're thus part of that church, and we share in that mission. You and I share in that mission. You and I have work to do. Thirdly, that mission is to bring the knowledge of God to all people and to all nations. That's why Jesus said to the 72, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. We have a share, dear brothers and sisters, in this ongoing ministry till our Lord returns. And this ministry is to share the knowledge of God with everyone around us who's willing to listen. We have been worshiping this exalted God, the one true God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in perfect unity and communion. This is the God of love. This is the God of salvation that we have the privilege to proclaim the knowledge of this God to those around us. This is our great mission, to lead people to know and to believe and to trust in the one living triune God, the God who is holy, loving, and gracious. Let's respond to these applications of the word by offering ourselves and our gifts to the Lord for his service.